Well, good morning, everybody. It is a beautiful day to be either in the house of God or at home as you've logged on. I thank you all for being a part of the worship service there online, either on Facebook or YouTube or wherever you found us this particular week. I want to give a few announcements as we get started this morning. The first one is, I hope you are still taking advantage of the seminary Sunday mornings, or Sunday morning seminary, I guess is what they're calling it, through Memphis Theological Seminary. At 9 o'clock, you can log on to their website and find the presentation for that day, and then you can also find all the previous weeks. So it's a wonderful opportunity to do some Christian education during this quarantine or whatever time that we are in. So that's one thing. The second one is on Thursdays. We started this past Thursday, but on Thursdays we have our Bible study, Women in the Christian Tradition. We spent about 45 minutes Thursday talking about Adam and Eve and that story and kind of how it's evolved through the generation since then. So if you can join us there, that'd be great. You can find the link on the website, on the Facebook page and on the website. And at 6:30 this Thursday, we will dive into round two of that. So I hope you can join us there. Are there other announcements, either from someone here or maybe if you have an announcement online that you need to let us know about, you can put it in there. Anything else going on in the life of the church? If there's not, would you please stand for our call to worship? It comes from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wonderful works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we thank You that this morning we get to come to this place, or we get to come online, or we get to go wherever we are, and we get to rejoice in Your name. We recognize, God, that You are God. We recognize that You are Creator of all things and the giver of all good ways. And so we recognize this morning that we need to respond to You, and as a people together, we respond this morning. We come here and do it in person. We join online. However we do it, we all make that statement that we need to come together to rejoice in the name. But we also know, Lord, that this is only 45 minutes or an hour a week. And that one of the things that we most need to do is continue our worship and our praise all through the week. Allow this to kickstart us as we go into the week, worshiping You in every way that we can find. We ask, God, these things because we know we need to be in worship. We know we need to be in service. We know we need to be committed to You in every way that we can find. And we ask, God, that You start us today doing that and continue us all week long. So, Lord, bless this time of praise of You. Bless this time of worship. Allow the Spirit to blow at our backs and then send us out in the world doing the exact same thing. We ask these things, Lord, of You, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Yeah, and thank you all so much for continuing to provide music in these days. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We're about to do Victory in Jesus. This was requested by Ms. Mary Ellen Floyd. And take a moment and know that if you request something, we will do it. And it makes our life easier. So whatever you have, send those requests in. We'll make sure something happens.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning, then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory! My Savior forever sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath revealed for me in glory. And I've heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, the wonderful thing about that story, by the way, is that it's not a victory someday. It's not a victory somewhere in the future. It's not a victory down the line somewhere. It's a victory that's already realized. We live in the midst of the victory. So in these difficult days, don't think, well, someday, sooner or later, we'll be victorious. We already are. We've already won. We've already gotten the victory. And so praise be to God. Hey, we want to talk about a minute about our offerings. A couple of really cool things happened. The first thing I want to say, though, is last week I challenged everybody to if you are artistic or you write or paint or whatever, music, to send that in. I got several responses. So we're going to do one a week. I'm going to do them in the order they came in. So don't get offended if yours didn't come in this week. I'm going to do one each week. But the other thing is this. The interesting thing is you don't have to have a history of art to do art. You don't have the history of music or writing to do music or writing. Something cool happened. Wes didn't play bass before the quarantine. He'd never touched a bass before the quarantine. And he had some downtime. He's like, I think I'm going to play bass. And so he picked it up and he started playing it just kind of here and there. And lo and behold, he's playing for worship service and doing a wonderful job. And so I want to thank Wes and all our musicians and all those that contributed for what they've done. I want to share one of the pieces of art this week, though. We're going to post this on Facebook, so if you can't see it online, it's going to be on Facebook and the website. It already is? Is that what you... Oh, not yet. It will be? Yeah, we'll get it there. But anyway, I want to show it to you. This was made by Amy. Amy Bryan, and she took last week's statement. I said, write this down. And I know several people wrote it down. I saw somebody over here writing it down when I said several people wrote it down. And apparently Amy did, and she came up with this painting. Faith is expressed through love. And I think this is fantastic because she placed it on the cross, which is incredibly important because that was Jesus being faithful, right? Faithful all the way to the cross, which was based in love. So I thought it was a wonderful representation of that. We're going to post it online. And what I hope it does is prompt all of us to use our talents as we go through the week doing good stuff in the name of God. So this happened to be a painting. There's music. There'll be more music that's shared and other things. But I hope you take this as an instigation maybe to go in the world and share every gift that you have with the world. It's incredibly important that Christian folks go around and share the gifts with everybody else. We've been given them. And so now it's wonderful that we get to share those gifts with others. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Amy, for doing this one. I was just blown away by it. And thanks for all those who've already sent it in. And we'll be sharing those over the next few weeks. Continue sending yours. If you've got artwork, here's what I'd love to do. Here's another one. If you're not artistic, you're like me, you don't have any artistic abilities, but you want to tell your testimony, your story, let me know. I'll come over and video you. We'll do a time where you can share your Christian story, and we'll use it and to share with people. So there's all kinds of opportunities. Let me know how you would like to do that. I thank everyone for continuing to support the church. We are continuing to do the good work of the Lord, and so your tithes and offerings are wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Let's go to God in prayer again. Austin, I need to ask this: Are there prayer requests from anyone here that we need to be in prayer for anybody? Is there anybody we need to be in prayer for? I know Cynthia Lucas. Suzanne is, she worked last night, so Cynthia Lucas we need to pray for. Are there any others that we need to be in prayer for? Online, make sure you're listing those if you're watching, because we're forwarding these to the prayer team to make sure people pray each week for these. So make sure in the comments, either on Facebook or YouTube, that you list your prayer requests. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for giving us abilities and gifts and talents and all these things, but we recognize, God, that they are not ours. They are yours. You shared them with us with an understanding that we are to be good stewards with them and share them with the world. And so we ask you, God, two things. First is we ask you to embolden us. Show us the gifts that we have. Remind us that they are gifts of yours that we can share. They're not something menial. They're gifts from you. And we ask, God, that you show us that. And then we ask you, Lord, that you give us the strength to do it well. We know, Lord, that it's not halfway that we need to be doing your work, but it's not half step and it's a full step. And so we ask you, Lord, to bless us so that we can go in the world and do it well and do it right. Give us the desire, give us the impetus, give us the grace and the mercy and all those things that we need to share with the world what you have shared with us. We ask these things, Lord, and we say thank you that you will do them. And so we say it through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series on the fruits of the Spirit. We have two sermons left, only one fruit left after this week, but two sermons after this week. And I thank everybody for being a part of it. I was positive I had a water here I could drink. There it is. So we'll read Galatians 5, 22 and 23 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Here is the problem with preaching. Sometimes you got to preach on stuff you don't know about, such as gentleness. If I was gentle, babies wouldn't cry every time I picked them up, and I recognize that. James says that sometimes when the choir sings, and by the way, I miss the choir. I do miss that. Here we were talking about choir earlier. Here's folks that every week they practice and then they come up on Sundays and they lift up the Lord through music, and someday we'll have a choir that sings again. But back when the choir used to practice, he said that sometimes when we were singing a nice pretty section, some melodic music and all that, he said sometimes we did real good and we held the bunny when we sang it. You know, just held the bunny all nice and easy and gentle. And then sometimes when we were supposed to be nice and easy and gentle in the music, we kicked the bunny. You with me? Sometimes we were supposed to be nice and it didn't sound like that. Gentleness, we don't always know exactly what it is. As I was preparing for the sermon, I had to ask, is that what it means to be gentle? Just holding the bunny softly all through life, never kicking the bunny, just tiptoeing along? Is that how Paul said we should be if we are feasting on the fruits of the Spirit called gentleness? Is that it? I don't think it'd be a bad thing if it was. It'd be a good thing to be gentle like that. Especially in a world that runs around kicking bunnies by the litter like it does. So don't kick the bunny. Eat the fruit of gentleness. That seems reasonable. Or maybe this is what he meant. I've done a couple of funerals now for people who never had a bad word to say about anybody. That's what their family said when they passed, about their loved one, that their loved one never said anything bad about anybody ever. I assume that they are not going to say that about me at my funeral. I'm going to have to get a whole different set of friends and family before they're going to say that about me. But there are some people, though, that just don't say anything about people who really need something said about them. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. It doesn't matter if it gets up in the loved one's crawl. It doesn't matter that people sometimes are just way too dumb for words. There are a few people who just have that ability to just shake it off. They don't need to fire back. They don't need to set stuff straight. They just go on through life and they never have a bad word to say about anybody. Is that gentle? Yeah, probably. Ain't no doubt that the world could use more of that, right? And then there was Reba. When I was a kid, from the time I was about 4 years old to about 11 years old, Dad was the preacher of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Russellville, Arkansas. The church sat on Highway 7 right across the street, the four lane from Arkansas Tech University's football field. That's where the Wonder Boys played. Honest to God, that was their nickname, their mascot, the Wonder Boys. The girls had a better nickname. They were the Golden Sons. We lived just about a block and a half from the church. We lived in the manse, so later on I could walk up to the church, no big deal. My school was about 10 blocks away, and it was through a residential area, so I could ride my bike to school when I got a little bit older. The world was kind of small, though. That was kind of what it encapsulated. Dad and Mom both worked quite a lot. Mom worked at a college 30 minutes one direction and got her master's degree at a college 45 minutes the other direction. So thankfully, the church was there to help out a very busy pastor's family. And in particular, there's one woman that basically adopted me as a grandchild, Reba Langford. She didn't have any kids of her own. She didn't have any grandkids there either, of course. And that was until I moved to town. There has never been anybody more gentle than Reba Langford. If I was sick at school, Mom or Dad would call up Reba and she'd come get me. She'd take me to her house. She'd sit me in front of the first remote-controlled TV I'd ever seen, and I flipped all three stations that we had as fast as I could. And then she'd go into the kitchen and she'd make a bologna sandwich. Now, I don't care anything about bologna sandwiches these days. There's about 50 meats I would pick first. But I don't know how she did it. She'd take regular old Wonder Bread and one slice of bologna, and then she'd put some yellow mustard on it, just basic yellow mustard, and turn it into a five-course gourmet meal like you never had before. It was as close to a miracle as I've ever seen, water into wine kind of stuff, you know? She'd let me play out in the yard and make a mess of things. One time they had a big pile of dirt in their yard that they were adding to the garden. It was a huge pile of dirt, too, because they had a huge garden. And I decided I was going to dig down into it and make a bomb shelter. This is about 1980, and so I figured the Soviets were going to send missiles at any moment. That's what I'd been taught. And so a bomb shelter seemed the right thing to have, you know. And before it was over with, I had dirt in places I didn't even know I had places. It was in my hair, and it was in my shoes. It was up my nose, and it was everywhere. But I was safe in that place. You know what I mean? It was a good place. Reba cared for me, and she loved me, and she made sure that when Mom and Dad were working, I was taken care of, and she did it with such incredible gentleness. That was Reba. I can still feel that nature 40 years later. I can feel it, man. Is that what Paul was talking about? Do we feast on the fruits of gentleness when we know people like that or experience life like that? That'd be all right, because I think the world would be a whole lot better if we all acted like Reba Langford. There wouldn't be any bunnies kicked, I assure you. What's it mean to be gentle? Is that all there is to it? I don't mean all there is. That's a lot. But does that encapsulate everything it means to be gentle? Is it just to be incredibly nice? I wouldn't sell that if you gave that to me, don't get me wrong. But is there more to that? Is there something else about gentleness? I was confused by all this when I was thinking about gentleness as a spiritual gift, because I can see sometimes when folks like maybe Jesus and some other folks in the faith weren't as gentle as Reba was. I mean, we know good and well that Paul and Jesus could talk to people exactly like they needed talking to. They could kick bunnies. Well, maybe not bunnies, but they could tell somebody what they were doing wrong in a hurry. So they were not in the spirit in those moments, maybe, where they weren't Reba-esque. I don't know. So I looked up the word that Paul used when we translate as gentleness, and surprisingly, I came up with another synonym, meekness. To be meek is to be gentle. It's almost like meek is more gentle than gentle is. Meek. Was Jesus meek? Is the Spirit of God meek? Paul didn't seem meek, did he? Meekness is, it seems like weakness in our world. It doesn't win on the battlefield for the Wonder Boys, and it doesn't win in the boardrooms either. Meekness feels very submissive. There doesn't seem to be any strength in meek. Meek is being mousy in the corner, not roaring like a lion, isn't it? If I were to tell you today that so-and-so was a very meek person, it probably wouldn't elicit many positive images of that person. I mean, nothing negative, really. It wouldn't do that. But meekness finds very little benefit in our culture. Meekness doesn't change the world, or at least it doesn't feel like it changes the world. I think some folks, though, believe that meek, our definition of meek today, is exactly what the Spirit-filled Christian should be. Meek, gentle, don't cause a disturbance. Keep things calm and never ruffle feathers, because ruffling feathers just gets people ruffled, and no good Christian folk ruffles people, do they? Blessed are the meek, right? I'm not sure if this will surprise you or not, but it shocked me that there are two people in the Bible called meek. Only two that I know of. Maybe there are more, but I couldn't find any more. Two people that use the exact same word for meek. It was Jesus and it was Paul. In Numbers, Moses was called the meekest person in all of creation. That's what it says. And then Jesus told his followers to take his yoke upon him and learn from him because he was gentle, meek. That's the exact same word that Paul used in Galatians. It surprised me that Jesus and Paul were called meek because, y'all, Paul faced down Pharaoh. He strolled up into Pharaoh's court and told him how things were going to be and how things were not going to be. And that's not meek as I know it. That's not gentle. That's not Reba. Yet that's exactly what Moses did. It wasn't meek or gentle like we know. I said Jesus and Paul. I meant Jesus and Moses, by the way. It wasn't. If anything, it was bold and strong and daring and willing to do whatever had to be done God's way. Jesus was that in spades, like Moses before him. Jesus went up against the powers of the world too. This time Herod. He went against up the temple, against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and even Caesar himself. That doesn't seem gentle and meek to me, at least by the standards that I know. It's world-changing, and that's rarely gentle. I come up with these two people because for me to understand the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness, I had to understand that Paul wasn't saying that Christians are pushovers. Mm-mm, not a bit. He wasn't saying that to be caught up in the Spirit is to be blown down by the world's hurricane force winds. He wasn't saying that we're to be wispy and cowering in the corner. That was not Paul's intention for saying the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. To be meek and to be gentle, as Paul meant it, is to understand that we don't matter any more than anybody else does. To be gentle and meek, according to Paul, was to know that only one thing matters, and that's how God calls us to live in this world. It doesn't matter how we think it should work. To be meek and to be gentle, as Paul meant it, is to come to grips with the fact that our only path, our only way, our only hope, our only salvation, our only anything is only through the way of the Spirit, the way of God, and the way of Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be gentle and meek, according to Paul. We disengage our egos. We know that we only follow God and we only serve neighbor. We don't lead God and harm God's children. We are gentle and meek. Gentle is like Reba, who cared more for me, or at least it felt like she cared more for me than she cared for herself. She cared for me at least as much. Gentle is that person that doesn't have anything bad to say about anybody because they know what it feels like to have something bad said about you. Meek. Meek means we are subservient, right? It means we're pushovers. Isn't that what we said? And that's true as long as we realize that what Paul meant is that we are subservient to God and nobody else. We'll only be pushovers when it comes to Jesus Christ. Meek means that when it comes to living this life, we're going to follow God's way because God's way is the only way that will save us. That's meek, man. That's meek. It means I am pushed over. I'm weak. I'm not able to stand up on my own, but thank God I don't have to because God's with me. I'm following God who always blesses us with every fruit that we need on the journey. Meek and gentle, yes, I will be meek and gentle for the Lord. The irony of this faith is that to be meek is to be strong. The irony is that God's own strength and power fills us when we rid ourselves of the world's way and take on God's way. God's way is the food that we eat. It's what nourishes us. To Paul, what Jesus taught was that gentleness and meekness was about doing God's will and doing it under God's control. And that's why meekness and strength can be so powerful at the same time. It's not us doing anything when we're doing it in God's name. It's the Spirit of God doing it. And if that brother is so powerful that what God did was speak the world into existence, all God did was say, let there be light, and the light was good. If that's who God is, if we are meek and gentle, and God can do that through us, in what way would you prefer to be? Me? I pray the Lord makes me meek so that I may be strong. One last point, and I'll wrap this up. There is a root that nourishes the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness. And you know as well as I do that without a good root, nothing grows. I got two pepper plants right now in my garden. One of them is a jalapeno plant, and it's not doing anything. It's got three or four little paltry peppers on it, and it looks stupid. It hadn't done a thing all year. Then the serrano plant has gone crazy. It's got like 100 on it right now. It's going nuts. And if I pulled them both up out of the ground right now, I could tell the difference by the root. You with me? There's a root to gentleness and meekness that must run deep, else the plant won't live. And that root is called humility. I didn't make this up. I read a bunch of people who talked about it. It's an important thread in the discussion of meekness and gentleness. In everything I read, it reminded me over and over, at the base of being gentle and at the base of being meek and following the way of God, there is one thing, and that one thing is, are we humble? If we as people are not humble, we're going to have a hard time finding that narrow path that leads to gentleness. Because, see, here's the thing. Humility is not sold in our culture. It is not available. You can't hardly find it. You can find fake humility. You can find that everywhere. If you worked hard for something, it's nice to thank everybody else that put you there, right? But we all know who gets the trophy and the profit and the degree, too. But just be humble when you get up for that Academy Award, right? That's what we're supposed to be. Real humility, though, not thinking of ourselves more than we think of others, that's not as easy to come by. See, in everything that we see and read and hear, we're told we are the important one. Everything we sold, we're told we are so important that we're going to sell this to you. You're important, so buy this and vote for that. If you don't see that, man, go look for it because it's everywhere. Everything in this world plays on your vanity, never on your humility. But humility says that when it comes down to it, nobody's more important than anybody else. I'm not more important to you. I'm not more important than anybody. In fact, I'm just one of 7.5 billion people in the world right now, and we're all, every one of us, family. Without exception, we're all Adam and Eve. We all have the breath of God in our lungs. Same heartbeat, same fears, same wants, same desires, same everything. We're all the same, and to know that that mother right there in this moment in, I don't know, Doha or Bangladesh or Tripoli or wherever is as important as me, and to prove it, I have to act like she's more important maybe. And more than that, humility tells us that if somebody has to be in charge of it all, it might as well be God. God seems the most qualified. God seems to be the one that create the world and can resurrect Jesus, so I figure that means that God gets to make the rules. And so if I'm humble, suddenly I have to side with who God sides with. I have to find value in what God finds value in. I have to dismiss what God dismisses. I am to serve what God calls to serve. Listen to who God calls us to listen to and be with who God calls us to be with, and nobody else defines us when we are humble and gentle and meek. The only one that is allowed to define us is God. Y'all, excuse me for my excitement in that, but I can't think of a better way to go through life than God defining who we are. If God gets to define me and direct me and empower me, then I can't imagine anything more exciting than knowing that God's got a thing that needs to be done and He's going to give me the strength to do it. I can't imagine anything more comforting than knowing that no matter how anything looks, no matter how anything appears right now, that God's way is better than what anybody else is going to put me up to. So I can follow God's way without worry. That's what I can do. I can do things the right way and be a fruit, and I can do it to the glory of God if God defines me. I can't imagine anything more motivating than to know that there is a way to go, and all I have to do is learn that way from other Christians who are also walking the path. I can read about it. I can study about it. I can do it. I can pray about it. I can serve. I can know that God will be with me and loving me and holding me when I dive down deep in the faith just to see where it goes. Y'all, what's better than that? What's better than knowing that there is a way that is called good and right, and we get to be a part of that? Church, do you read your Bible? Do you read your Bible? Because God's way is in there, man. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to them. Be meek and humble and know that God's got the best thing going that there has ever been. I can't imagine anything better. There's no sunset. There's no banana pudding, no okra, no bologna sandwich, no video of a bunny eating. By the way, go to Google right now after the worship service and look for videos of bunnies eating. It is too good, man. But there's nothing better than knowing that when we get to live in a community of other Christians, we are humble and gentle and meek. Y'all, this way of Christ is amazing. I'm not going to lie. This way of Christ is unbelievable. When we submit to Christ's call, when we humbly battle our Maker, and we realize that we are so lucky to live with 7.5 billion members of God's family floating through space on a big rock that God made too, and when we vow to walk with the wind of God at our backs, there is nothing better than God's way. So I beg you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't ever miss the chance to be humble and gentle and meek. Make sure everybody else doesn't miss it either. Instead, eat of that fruit of gentleness. Share it with everybody that you can find. Make a table with it. Plant the root of humility in your garden and be meek. And know that God was right when He said, "Blessed are the meek." Because when we follow the way of Christ, we do inherit all the earth. Jesus said so. And may we all be meek enough to never, ever doubt that promise of God. And all of God's people said. We have one more song for us this morning, and then we'll have our prayer and the benediction. Again, if you have prayer requests, if you have concerns, if you have needs going on, please make sure that we know about it. Put the prayer request online if you'd like to. Call the church office. If you know somebody that's in need in these difficult times, make sure you let us know. There's a couple of families we're working with right now to make sure that they've got the resources they need in these days. So let us know about those things too. And thank you all again so much for leading us in music. Join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we know that You are holy. We know from the creation of the world, the creation of good, through the creation of beauty, through the creation of all things right and gentle, that You are holy. And we ask, God, that You send us out from this place You send us out from our places that we've been watching online. You send us into this world, whether it's through phone calls or cards or acts of service or whatever it is. We ask you, God, to show us that holy way so that we may walk it too. We ask, Lord, that you instill in us a humbleness, a humility, so that we know that we are simply one of your creation, all living together to your glory. We ask these things, God, because we know that we need you desperately. And so we ask that you bless us. Bless us all week long. Bless us in our relationships. Bless us in our time together. Bless us in our times apart. Bless us in any way that you find right and good. And allow us to see your glory in the midst of it. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said, amen. It is good to see everybody in here. It is good to see everybody online. I can't wait to see all the comments. I always do that right after the worship service. Go see what everybody's had to say. So thank you all. Thank you for being here. And we will worship again next week. God bless.